in your work in the schools, what have you found out about cyberbullying that is most disturbing to you?
The first would be the degree of just vile, hurtful, and purposely offensive messages that are occasionally exchanged between some of our students. The second would be the long-term consequences that these individuals can face arising from those thoughtless acts. And the third thing that I find disturbing would be the growing body of study which suggests a harmful link between the quantity of time spent online and particularly engaged in social media and our mental well-being. There are numerous studies out there that suggest that there may be a negative link to happiness with the quantity of time we see online. Looking at other people's Facebook profiles or Instagrams, we only see the very curated, very pretty part of their lives, and that's often very difficult for us to live up to in our own lives, and we constantly surround ourselves with this.
Well, you mentioned long-term consequences of cyberbullying. What are some of those consequences?
Depending on circumstances, there could be criminal repercussions for things said or done online. But even less than that, once we put something out online, we have no control over it anymore. And statements that we made 2, 5, 10 years ago can be brought up exactly the way that they were said.
You know, you write in your column in the Post-Independent that there are laws in Colorado that address cyberbullying, but that it's a fine line between free speech and criminal behavior. Talk about that.
Well, certainly the right to free speech, I think, is a cornerstone of our relationship with the government, but that right is not absolute. Inciting actions that would harm others, making and distributing obscene materials, or making direct threat to others are all non-protected speech. Frequently, police officers are called in to make the first judgment call about whether something being communicated is in violation of those laws. And until 2015, some of our state laws did not caught up with the technology being used. Police were unable to prosecute an individual who had bullied a girl named Kiana Arellano so badly that she attempted suicide. In 2015, they were able to update that law and allows us to take a broader range of enforcement action against inappropriate speech. But a lot of the speech on the Internet, even if it's inappropriate, isn't illegal. And that becomes one of the challenges that we deal with, both as police officers and really, I think, as society.
You mentioned tactics to avoid cyberbullying differ among websites and apps. What do you mean by that?
Well, the first thing that I say and that I repeat in those presentations is that if you're having a problem, I need you to tell somebody. My audience is most frequently middle schoolers and high schoolers. So I ask that they contact a parent, a teacher, or law enforcement. And we can all work together to get to the bottom of the issue. And all of those groups bring different powers and abilities to the table. Specifically with the different websites and apps, privately owned websites and apps are not required to give the same First Amendment protections to their users. There are frequently times when a party's actions have violated the terms of use service or usage agreement. And the website or the app can take action that I, as a police officer, wouldn't be legally allowed to take.
In your classes on cyber safety, are you simply teaching children or students how to be polite to one another? I mean, how much of what you teach are basic communication skills?
That is certainly a portion of it. I also hope that I'm able to encourage some other behaviors. Teenagers are being let loose with some pretty impressive technology and little to no oversight lots of the time. Unfortunately, a teenager left to their own choices with a smartphone can accidentally or even sometimes on purpose inflict some pretty serious harm on themselves and others. And they may not even know that that's the case until a great deal of time has passed. Teenagers that take nude or semi-nude pictures frequently then send them to someone. And once they're out of the originator's possession, there's very little that can be done to control the spread of that. And that image is going to be on the Internet potentially forever. So we'd like to limit that, and in those classes, I continually preach that the best way to make sure that none of those photos get out is not to take those pictures.
What do you think is missing in our culture that could help students deal with being cyberbullied or help children not be a bully?
I think one of the big things that we tend to be missing is engagement. It's more involved parenting. It's more recognition by the students of their actions and their responsibility to others. It's more education so they understand that they're not alone and that it's okay to reach out for help.
Well, Officer Van Tellingen, thanks very much for taking the time to talk about this.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me on.